Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
Thought it would be really awesome just to center around God's Word. Center around the power of what Jesus Christ has done and the significance of what we today call Resurrection Sunday. And I'm really believing that for all of us, we would walk away with a new and a fresh revelation as to the power and the significance of what we have in Jesus Christ's finished work of the cross, conquering sin and conquering death. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when we come around this thought, in 2024, for us as followers of Christ, we know how the story ends. We know that He is risen and we have read the scriptures, but for a moment, I put myself in the shoes of those women that are named in the Bible, Mary Magdalene, lady named Joanna, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, another lady named Salome, as they walked to Jesus's tomb. That morning, they weren't expecting to find a risen Savior. In fact, they had prepared spices to anoint His body. It must have been a moment in a season of grief and of loss for someone that was so dear to them, but they turn up to find that the tomb is empty. And in that moment, at first, it's confusion. It's like, did somebody steal His body? What's going on here? And as they begin to get encounters from the angel telling them that, no, this is no thief in the night situation. He who was closed in with a stone that no man could roll away on his own, He is risen. And Jesus begins to reveal Himself to His followers after that. What was once mourning, what was once sorrow, turns to joy, turns to this revelation of He is the fulfillment of every prophecy. Church, let's never lose, come on, the power and the gratitude of remembering that He turned our mourning to dancing. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. I'll tell you what, there is joy today because our Savior is alive. You know, I was thinking about this saying, and I don't know if you've ever heard it, but people usually say, out with the old and in with the new. Some people who love collecting things, I'm using the word collect because some people use the word hoarding. I don't know. That feels a bit strong and it seems like a bit of an attack on people. And that's not what we're here to do this morning, church. So I'll say collectors of priceless ornaments. But some people are looking at their garages and right now you're thinking about it and you're thinking, oh, I could use that space. I've told them to clean that up for a long time. But the thought of out with the old, in with the new, that unless you get rid of the old, it's not possible to actually have room for the new. I was thinking about some of the technology that we used to have back in the day. Oh, I went down memory lane. Does anybody remember phone books? Oh, give me a wave. Oh my people. Do you know what? In today's day and age, right, the idea of a phone book is a security nightmare. Think about it. You could open this book, find someone's name and their phone number, and you could just call them. Man, imagine having that, people having access to your details like that. Phone books, but we use them. And nobody abused them, to my knowledge, anyway. That was just what it was, phone books. What about... Look, it's okay. I didn't mean to read your mail this morning, but it's okay. We're all on a journey. Paper maps. Do you remember you had to sit down with the paper map before you went and drove to actually look at the route you were going to? It was imperative that the person in the passenger seat had the job. Ah, if there's ever been pressure. <It's>, of sitting in that seat and telling them, yeah, it's the next exit. Yeah, it's the next exit. Oh, we missed it. And then you're having to recalculate and turn that thing around and try and figure out, well, what's the best way? Paper maps. Oh, can we go a little bit further this morning? Who remembers overhead projectors? Oh, yeah, I know. It's 2024 and you love the words on the screen and it's all good. But there were champions. I would say the backbone of all our churches back in the day that had the one job of making sure they're listening. Swap it over. There you go. And it was seamless. And let me tell you what, that wasn't an easy job. Because if you got that thing back to front, like, do you know what I mean? The words wouldn't look like. Anybody remember? OHPs? Oh, where's my people? Ah, oh, so good. All right, one more. And this is just for fun. Dial-up internet. Ah, that was the most stressful thing. You know, you kind of plug it in, you know, click the button, it's like... Do, and it make all these sounds. And then you think you're connected, right? Only for someone to pick up the landline and the connection's gone. And I know someone going, what's a landline? Ah, come on, guys. Out with the old and in with the new. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ... that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creation, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. In John 10:10, Jesus says these words that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Friend, this morning I want to ask you, do you know that resurrection power gives you and I new life? That we can have and live this life that is to the full that Jesus talks about. A new life of hope, as Pastor Paul declared. A new life of peace. A new life of joy. A new life of an eternity that is secure, knowing that I am forgiven and that He has made a way. I wonder what the theme of your life is this Easter. Is it outdated ways of living and trying to keep up, producing, trying to keep up with the world, only to find you're producing the same outcomes of disappointment or maybe discouragement? Or are you stuck in religious ways trying to perfect your own life out of your own strength and striving? I've got good news for you. Because He is risen, He has a new life for you and He has a new life for me. The writer in Romans 8 verse 11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. You know, I've discovered in my own personal walk with Jesus that I am saved in a moment. He transforms my life. I go from death to life. That through going through the waters of baptism, I identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and I'm made new. But the full reality and significance of what Jesus Christ has done is actually realized through a journey and through a process. That actually this idea of out with the old and in with the new is a process and it is a journey. And I want to tell you today that the resurrection power of Jesus, it empowers you in this journey. It helps you in this journey. It sustains you in this journey. The first thing that I believe the resurrection and power of Jesus empowers us to do is to actually let go. The resurrection power of Jesus allows us to let go. Let go of our old life. Let go of our past. Let go of things that might try and hold us back. But because Jesus is risen, we can let go. I would say letting go is a choice that we all have to follow Jesus. You know, one of the great joys is getting to hear people's stories who've been saved and even gone through the waters of baptism. I'm gonna read you today Christina Papa's story, and she says this, that she was baptized this year and This was the second time actually she got baptized. The first time was when she was 12 or 13. And she says, I wanted to get baptized again at the age of 21 because I wanted to get right with God. I knew I was living a life that wasn't representing God and who He is. I was just going to God every now and then continue to live the way I was. I decided to turn to God because I was still and am still expecting God to use me, and I know that I have a purpose. I don't know what that exactly is. I'm still learning. Even though I was born into Christianity, I struggle sometimes to know what God wants me to do. I feel like this time is different for me. I have full trust that no matter how chaotic I may think things are that are happening in my life, I know God is moving. Even when I can see it and even when I can't feel it. I know that I am so loved, that I am highly favored, and I am destined to do great things by God. She says that on the day of my baptism, I was really trying to think of ways not to go because I was having a week of feeling depressed and anxious. I was experiencing something I call brain fog. I just wasn't feeling like going to my baptism, but I pushed through, believing that God would leave the old behind and that He would set me free. It was such a special day as I stood before my family and my friends, praising God and declaring that now I live for Him. That's just not a story that we kind of picked up from just a website. That is somebody who is a part of our church who has experienced that Jesus Christ gives her the ability to let go of her past, to let go of depression, to let go of a life of anxiety and take on the new life she had in Christ. And I got in good news for you. If He can do it for her, He can do it for you too. That His plan for new life is for all of us. That the resurrection power of Jesus gives us the empowerment to let go. You're not what you did. You're not what they did to you. You can let it go today. No more living in shame and no more living in regret. Because the resurrection power of Jesus gives you the ability to let go. So the first one is He gives us the ability to let go, I believe. Secondly, He gives us the ability to lay down. He gives us the ability to lay down. I believe that this is a choice to align my will with God's will. Jesus, in the lead up to His crucifixion, has this very real moment between Him and the Father in Luke 22, verse 42, and He says, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. That decision that Jesus made in that moment to align His will to the Father's will changed your life and it changed my life. Proverbs 16:9 says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Question for you this morning. Is your plan submitted to His plan? What's ordering your steps? What establishes your steps? Is it right now the up and down and the fluctuation of an economy? Is it the opinions and thoughts of popular culture? I truly believe that God has hardwired each and every single human being for significance, for purpose. But that significance, that purpose is not found in a striving of trying to make our own plans happen for ourselves, but rather the way God works is different to the world because He says, if you would lay your life down and entrust it to Me, I can do more with it. His victory, His resurrection gives you and I the ability to lay down ways of thinking. Gives you and I ability to lay down ways of trying to bring influence to ourselves and actually entrust that He would in and through us, grow us and shape us and mold us to live the life that we so desire to live. Farr is another amazing man who has gone through the waters of baptism, and we asked him this question, what does laying down something look like for you? And he simply said this, it's about being obedient. He said that this is my personal next step. He said that God revealed to him that he was to break camp and advance to the mountains because that's what he did for him. That what he's facing today is nothing in comparison to what lies in his future. And the word for him was, now go, see, and take what God has promised him. I truly believe today, whether you're getting baptized, or maybe whether you've attended church today and you're in a season of your life where you don't know what your future quite looks like, I got good news for you. God does. But friend, it doesn't try by you trying to crunch all the numbers, trying to figure it out yourself. It actually starts in a place of laying down. Isn't it amazing that when they thought that the Messiah would come wielding a weapon and riding triumphantly on a horse to destroy the tyranny and the rule, he decided that he would come and he would choose to die a death so brutal that they didn't think he deserved. He used the things that we would think would not be worthy of a Messiah to ultimately bring the greatest miracle of all. I'm here to say this, that maybe it's not going to look the way you thought it was going to look. Maybe it's not going to work it out like you thought it was going to work it out, but those who put their trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. I believe this Easter God is speaking to us and he's saying, what are you not only going to let go, but what are you going to lay down so that you can discover the new life I have for you? So not only do I believe God is saying what to let go or to lay down because of the resurrection power, but the next part is I believe we need to take hold. We need to let go. We need to lay down, and then we need to take hold. It's amazing. I think sometimes in a Christian life, we get, I guess, maybe so sacrificial that we're like, yeah, I'm going to just go and for Jesus, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to let go, and I'm going to work. But are you actually taking up the life he has for you? We can get so busy in trying to work out this journey in this life that we forget that he says that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. That we actually need to remember to take hold. The phrase I put along this is, I choose to partner with the Holy Spirit. I choose to partner with the Holy Spirit to live this new life that he has for me. I want to read to you what the writer of Colossians says because I just think it's beautiful. Earlier in this chapter, in chapter 3, he's talking about the old life and things that will hold us down, things like anger and deceit and patterns of this world that are not healthy, that will bring about, to be honest, a death of our soul. But then he goes on to say this in Colossians 3, verse 9 to 14. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, you are a chosen person by God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, take hold, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, this new life that Jesus empowers us to live through his resurrection means that you and I can live lives of compassion where we used to be cold and maybe heartless. We can live lives of kindness where maybe I used to be mean and angry. We can live lives of humility where maybe I used to be vain and prideful. We can choose to live lives and step into gentleness because he's changed me from being harsh and aggressive. We can choose to be patient because he's transforming me from being erratic and impulsive. We can choose to live lives of forgiveness because he's changing me from being vengeful and merciful. We can choose lives of love because he's changing me from being insecure and hateful friend. Have you taken hold of the new life that is in Christ? And you know what? I think the worst thing we could try and do this Easter is hear a message like this and try and go and work this new life thing out ourselves. Friend, it's not a striving thing, but he, in and through you, creates a heart of compassion. David said, God, would you exchange my heart of stone for a heart of flesh? It's Jesus, and through his power for his resurrection, that transforms us from the inside out. Amen. Our ability to let go, our ability to lay down, our ability to take hold is found through the empowerment of our resurrected Savior. That story is not just for a few that maybe were born into the right family, maybe have all their ducks in a row, feel like they do. No, that's a story for every single human being that would make a choice and a decision to say, Jesus, I want to identify with you. You know, I started this message by reading from 2 Corinthians, and it's amazing. The writer uses the language and he says that anyone who is in Christ, you know, the resurrected life of Jesus is for anyone and everyone. He's no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter what job you have today. Doesn't matter what your past has looked like. Because when he looked through the tunnel of time, as he hung up on that cross and he was raised from life, he saw each and every single one of us. He saw your past and he saw your future, and he made a decision that he would come and he would make a way for you, that you too could experience what it is to go from old to new, that you could declare out with the old and in with the new, not because of anything that you would do, but because of everything that Christ has done. Amen. In Romans, the writer says this, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In another version, it goes on to say this, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same, no matter what person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who cries out for help. Everyone who calls to God and says help will get his help. Friend, maybe today you've been crying out for help. You thought nobody was listening. But over 2,000 years ago, that cry of help today was heard by our Savior. And he said, you know what? For your story, for your future, I'm going to make a way. And I want to give a moment right now across this room to anybody that would say, TC, I don't know what it is to have a relationship where I know what it is to be able to walk away from my past, to be able to lay things down that have had a hold on my life and take up the new life in me. Friend, God loves you. He's got a plan and he's got a purpose for your life. And he saw this moment long before any of us did. You thought you were just walking into a service maybe today to support someone getting baptized, but he knows your name. Bible says that he knit you, he formed you together in your mother's womb. Friend, he thinks good thoughts towards you. But TC, you don't know what I've done, but he knows, and he still chooses to look at you with eyes of compassion, to look at you with eyes of mercy. Church, can I remind you today that our God, he's a God who is merciful.
Yes.
He's a God who is kind. The Bible says that he's slow to anger, and he's calling out to you today.
Come on.
Saying that you don't need to get stuck in the continual cycle of religion, in the continual cycle of trying to make it happen in your own strength. But today, if you would choose to surrender your life to Jesus and take up the empowerment of the resurrected Savior, you would discover the life you were created for. A life of peace. A life of hope. A life of forgiveness. Friend, I'm going to be honest with you. This might look like actually making some decisions to turn 180 degrees and said, no more will I be a part of that life. No more will I maybe hang out with that crew, or no longer will I hang out in those environments, because I am choosing to say no to my old life and to step into the new life He has for me. With every head bowed and every eye closed across this room, I want to take a moment and I want to speak to hearts. If that's you in this room and you're saying, TC, what do I need to do to receive this relationship, to discover what it is to be in relationship with my Savior? All I'm going to ask you to do in this moment is to lift up your hand. That's an outward declaration of the decision you're making on the inside, to say, you know what, Jesus, you're going to be Lord from this day on. I'm going to see it, and you can put it straight down. Maybe you once used to walk with God. Maybe you once used to have a relationship with Him, but through circumstance and situations, decisions of your own, or maybe things that happened to you, you find yourself separated from Him. Friend, He's never turned His back on you. You can have a new beginning today. You can have a fresh start. You can discover what it is to have freedom and forgiveness for your sins. Right across this room, if I'm speaking to you, you're saying, TC, would you include me in that prayer? I want to make a decision to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Would you lift up your hand right across this room? I'm going to see it. God bless you over here. God bless you over there. Is anyone else? God bless you over here. God bless you at the back there. Anyone else? Just lift nice and high. Over here, sir. God bless you. On the far side there. God bless you. Just lift. Sir, I see that hand. God bless you. Is anyone else? Ma'am, I see that hand there. God bless you. Sir, over there. God bless you. Over here. God bless you. God bless you at the front here. God bless you, young man. God loves you. Is there anyone else? I get excited at this moment because people's lives are changing. Sir, over there. I see your hand. God bless you. Come on. God's getting a hold of hearts. You're going from old to new. God bless you over here. I see that hand. Sir, over there. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there anyone else? I don't want to leave anyone behind. See, I need Jesus to say, God bless you over here, ma'am. So good. Anyone else before we move on? Awesome. God bless you over here. Man, that's what God does. Tell you what, this is not about joining a church. This is about meeting your Savior. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to pray this powerful prayer that transforms everything. And if you are one of those amazing legends that lifted up their hand, I want you to pray it with passion and aloud, but we love you so much that the whole church, the whole room is going to join with you in this prayer. So why don't you repeat after me and say, Dear Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I need your love and I need your forgiveness. I declare that I'm a follower of Jesus from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at church online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.